morning. One of the more frustrating aspects of my work and my life has been my inability, my ineptness to be able to share with you things that have no words to them. There are those things that you have to get, and there's no way to get them through words. It's one of my most inept things about Gregory. He understands, a lot of things, but he has no way to share it with you, really. Mm-hmm. And there are things in me that I would love to be able to give you. If I had it my way, they would be a gift, I swear to you. And I'd be happy after giving them to you. I would die, and that would be great. But that's not the way it works. So I want you to always forgive me for being so inept with you. I want to talk to you about a phrase that Jesus used, and I am just heading for the debacle of my inabilities right now. So you're going to have to forgive me. To get what I'm about to say to you, you have to be relative and relevant, not to your finitude, your lesser part, but to the fortitude of your heart. Jesus said, and he said this to his disciples, and I love this, let not your hearts be troubled. You are troubled by your human heart. And we are in times now where we have a maniac and a crazy man that is our president. And you're not stupid people. Well, all right, I'm starting over again. You know as well as I do, I am sure, where we're headed. And the sad part about it all is that you don't know how to deal with these times. All my life I've been alone. And when I was younger, this aloneness, being alone, not lonely, but being alone, brought about certain tendencies and abilities in me that far superseded whatever it is that was my parents. And I've always been very grateful for that. It took a long time for me to understand what Jesus meant when he said, let not your hearts be troubled. When I think about all the things that Greg has put me through in the course of my lifetime, that Gregory Edward just, didn't understand the depth of that. I remember hearing all my life, let not your hearts be troubled. Then I think, well, how can you not be troubled when people you love, people like you, the people I love, the people I care about, are going through all of your mishigosh? You're crazy. You are nuts, all of you. And you just don't want to admit it. You think if you look at others and think, well, I'm either better or lesser than them, then I'm doing okay. But you're not doing okay. You're not. You don't understand what I'm saying to you most of the time. When you come to retreat or workshop, you hear all these words, you can't put them together. I like what Emil said last year when he said, this is the way I am. And you live that way. This is the way you are. And how do you improve that? You think maybe that needs improvement. You'll never, never understand anything that I teach or any master, any teacher, until you understand one basic thing, that what you really, really, really are after is peace. This peace is not the peace of a graveyard. This is the peace that you find in a garden, where things are blowing around. Remember the story of the master that said to the king, you want to be awakened, I'll tell you what, you work in your garden. you work there for a year. I'll come back in a year, and I'll be able to tell by your garden if you achieved anything. So he comes back. Do you remember the story? And everything is perfect. Everything. There isn't a leaf out of order in that garden. Not one. Everything is. So he goes over and he finds the mulch where the leaves all were in the back that were hidden. And he takes them, he scatters them all over. And he said, now this is a garden. You have to understand what he was really doing. He was showing nothing is perfect. Look, and I was talking about this with a person just before we went on the air here. You live in impermanence and you're immature. You're terribly immature. You believe in the things that you believed in at 5 or 6 years old. You believe in being entitled. You think you should have everything you want. You think everything should be easy and work out the way you want it to work out. That's very immature. And you endure things that tear apart at the very fiber of your ability to do one thing, and that is to live for something that is greater than yourself. And you won't do that. Truth be told, you don't know what's greater than you. It's gone that far. You think you're it. This is my life. This is it. Well, as Emil said, this is just the way I am. Why would I do anything more? This is just the way I... Everything comes back to just the way you are. Your finitude is your fortitude. That's really not a good thing. But I offer you all sorts of things to help you, and you just ignore them because you don't think you have to go that far. You're not willing to live for something greater than yourself. You're not willing to do that. And until that moment happens where you suddenly realize, oh my, what am I really, what is greater than me? Peace. To bring peace into your life. So when Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. That makes no sense to you. You try to make sense of things that aren't relative to your senses. And that's the ineptness of a great Edward Penn. He can't teach you that. You honeys, I love you all dearly. I do. But you need to go out there and get your asses kicked. I mean, unmercifully. You do. And if you haven't yet, you will. I guarantee you it's going to happen. And when it does, by then it will be too late. And you'll have to start all over again. And then you'll start all over again with the same idea that this is just the way I am. This will go on and on and on and on. Until you finally come to recognize what you and I really need. Peace. But not as the world give I unto you. What is that peace that Jesus talked about? That it's even in the Tao, that's almost verbatim what Jesus said. How do you find that peace? It's got to be the greater thing in you than yourself. And you have got to understand the mishigosh and the crazy, the mischief that goes on inside you constantly. When we sit down to talk in session work, you're blah, 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 and you've got it all figured out, and yet your life shows it's not. But somehow within you, you rationalize your evil to such a degree that you think you got it by the tiger by the tail, and you don't. Now, the moves you have to make within yourself to find this thing that is greater than yourself, which is peace, inner peace. And that requires a lot of sacrifice. Raise your hand if you're willing to sacrifice everything you've accomplished in your life. Oh, no hands are up. Well, death is going to do that for you. It's going to take away everything. And it will come in a way that you had not counted on. Do you ever think about this? There's some maybe doctor out there that's still in med school or wherever, somewhere, who's, you know, you've got a divine rendezvous with. And this person's going to say to you, I'm sorry, we've done all we can. You go to hospice. That's your fate. That's your destiny as a body, as a human body. But there's something in you beyond that human experience that you have to be willing to discover. And self-realization is a very difficult thing, because in it, you have to admit the things you try to hide from others as well as yourself. I think Sammy Davis sang it well. What kind of fool am I? You have to realize you're a fool. And not only that, but an unconscionable one. Because you have assumed things about yourself that are only human. You don't find the divine in you. And until you're willing to give up that decimating thing about the human form, you'll never find the function of your life, the beauty of it. You'll never find it. It isn't in your cat, your dog, your money, your career, your creativity, your feelings. It's not in any of that. It's in something called silence. And until you're quiet enough, you live a simple, solitude, and silent life, you're never going to find it. This is the peace that Jesus talked about that passes all human understanding. You live by the rancor of your human understanding. If it doesn't make sense to you, and the moment it comes out of my mouth, you can't remember it because it just doesn't click in there. There is nothing I can say to grasp your attention. There is nothing in there that I can give you that will make sense to you. Nothing. I mean, let's play the little game here. Why are you here? Why are you in this world? Does it make sense to you to be here? Really, does it? You come in, you don't know how you got here. They turn you upside down, spank you to get you to breathe. I've been trying to do that for years, spank you to get you to breathe, but that doesn't matter. So, and then the next thing you know, you're handed over to these two inept human beings that have absolutely no appreciation for the beauty and the splendor that lives within you. All their idea is, how do we clean up the piss, the shit, feed this kid, get him educated, and get him out of the house. Does that make sense to you? Problem is, it does. And everything that you do is based on and predicated on that. That infinitude of stupidity that we all share. And when you get an impulse, when you want to do something, you know you really shouldn't. If I do it, I get a whipping. I do it. You do it. The Tweety Bird mentality. And I know you're going to hate me for this, but it's true. Women are notorious for this. And their whole job is to get the man they're with to do the things they want them to do based on that ridiculous stupidity of, this is the way I want it, and this is my feelings. men are weak. And they're not very bright either, by the way, just in general. Mm-hmm. And if you can't see that in Washington right now, then you're one of them. I can guarantee you. I watched this thing on YouTube where these Trumpers were being interviewed, and what they were asked, well, why do you support him? And this is really important. This has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with psychology. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, he did everything he said he would. And so the guy said, well, what about the war in the Middle East that he said he'd never do? And they go, oh, we don't pay attention to that. See, that's the way you are. You just don't pay attention. Because you don't want to hear it. Your genetics are saying blah, 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 blah. You live for the idea of ignoring your death, ignoring any modicum of maturing, and then come what may. Maybe fate will save you from your death. It won't. Mm-mm. We're at an interesting stage in our life. You're on the precipice of your own death. And you don't realize it because just like these MAGA people, I don't wanna look at that. I ignore that. You can't ignore it. The clock is ticking. And we're gonna do death next year, but I'm going to be offering to you kind of a prelude to all of this in the workshops and the retreats we're gonna be doing this year. It's something that you have to go into in a different way, death. And I want to be able to do it with some sense of intelligence to help you. So you have to understand somewhere within you, your life is never going to measure up to what you want. And even if it has, you're going to die and lose it all. If you don't understand this, if you just ignore it, then you won't have the ability, the fortitude, to move through your emotions and the passions that you will feel. And I guarantee you, when you get to the place where you are troubled, really troubled, that's a good place to be. Don't try to push it away. What is it about me that made this possible? Mm-hmm. Keep asking that question. What is it about me that has made this possible? Over and over and over. Sit with it in your meditation. If you don't do this, then you will think you're doing Jim Dandy fine. And I can tell you, as someone who dearly, dearly loves you, you're not doing fine. Every so often, you have to recalibrate people. So I'm recalibrating you in hopes to be able to help you understand what it is about you that brings war and division to your life. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. I hope you understand. I love you dearly. And I'm honored to be able to do this. We don't meet next week, do we? I have a workshop. So we won't meet next week. And then the week after, I go down to Diego?
No.
The week after that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, on the 9th, there's another discourse, and then there's a workshop on the 16th.
We'll meet on the 9th, and we'll go from there. You see, I don't know where the hell I am. I love you. Please forgive me. Namaste.
Recording stop.
Mm-hmm. DuPont reviewing the staging site so that hopefully we can promote it to take place of the production. The production site as soon as possible next week.